what separates the men from the boys is what you do about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody makes mistakes and things happen. It's how you deal with them, you know.
Absolutely.
Welcome, construction industry professionals. You're listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to grow your business. Here are your hosts, Devin and Kevin.
Kevin, I'm excited for another fireside chat with a premier Colorado design build firm, DoubleTree Designs, who's been in business for over 25 years with a lot more experience from the family, from Lee, who started it with, you know, started with his dad as a framing as a kid and working his way up. And I'm excited to hear the rest of the family members, what they all have to say.
No, definitely. And collectively, they've got over 70, well, no, really probably more than like over 100 years of experience between just the three of them, let alone all the other family members. So just as this entity, they've had had the business for 25 years, but their experience is pretty extensive.
Yeah, so Team Lambert, we're excited to dive in and have a chat with them. But first, as always, I'm Devin Tilley, the president owner of Mountain View Window and Door by day, and one of my favorite hobbies is turning on this microphone and helping you contractors and architects grow your business on the Art of Construction.
And I'm Kevin Keefe. I'm a chief relationship officer and sales consultant for Mountain View. I've got about 15 years experience as a builder myself, so I always enjoy having an opportunity to talk to other builders and people in the business to learn their tricks of the trade.
Yeah, so you definitely had you filled your customer's shoes, right?
Absolutely.
And on this one, it's a local builder that we're going to be taking a deep dive into, just talking through the strengths and weaknesses of different projects, and you know, learn by doing, and with, like we said, a lot of experience with as a design build firm. So it's going to be a Cram Studio MVWD. So let's call in Deborah Lee and Hannah Lambert of DoubleTree Design.
Here we go.
What's your favorite beverage?
Good cold Colorado water.
We've had a lot of that lately. We're really healthy here in Colorado. That's great. What's a favorite place you've traveled?
Colorado. That's why I'm living here.
All right. Tell us one experience that you've had in Colorado.
Oh, my goodness. I had all my kids here. So that's
my mom would probably say the same thing.
Yeah.
It's enjoying Colorado with the kids.
With
how many
family.
Kids do you have?
I have seven.
All right. Well, there's five of us in the family. So what is your favorite hobby?
Living with my husband and working on my farm.
All right. Tell us something about your farm. What do you do on your farm?
We have a small farm, a small ranch. We've just recently got rid of all the cows, and we're going with American Black Belly Sheep, which are a unique breed. They're not only beautiful, they look like wild sheep. They're a hair sheep, but they are extremely healthy, and they're healthy for the public to eat. Okay. They're a very low cholesterol animal. They have 42 grams of carbohydrates, while almost all the other meats have 75. Okay. So we raise black belly sheep. We raise retrievers, which are poodles. The upland bird dog for the United States is a red male poodle out of Louder Creek, Georgia. And so we raise these poodles as well. They're fantastic retrievers. That's what they were bred for in the beginning. When you say poodle, everyone says, oh, because they think of the little foo-foo dogs, you know?
I have a Labradoodle at home, Luna the Labradoodle, and she is just a fetch. I wish I could have taken her to hunting school, because I think she would have been phenomenal.
Yeah, and we do golden doodles.
Okay.
So we've got a red, a beautiful, beautiful red golden retriever, and we've got a beautiful red male poodle. And so we get really nice ones from them. We also live off the grid. We've been 16 years living totally off the grid.
Wow. What's one of the biggest challenges for doing that?
What would you say, Lee?
Probably maintenance. You do your own maintenance, you know. Power goes off, it's your problem.
We know.
Hardly ever, people ask us, how often do you go without power, you know, in the power? But we never, because it's usually
five minutes
fixed, and we're back in business, where it could be 2 weeks, maybe have ice storm or something.
Sure, sure.
So we started with Deborah, who's kind of the face of DoubleTree Designs. So we're crammed in here to Studio MBWD with five of us. This is the most we've done. So we're going to introduce the other family members. But first, tell us what some of your niche and what separates DoubleTree Designs as a design build firm. And I really want to peel back some layers. So introduce DoubleTree Designs to our listeners out there.
Well, DoubleTree Designs is a design build, and we actually focus on what our clients want. It's really easy as a designer to get a really good idea and run with it and try to make it what the homeowner wants. But what you have to do is you have to listen to what the homeowner wants and do their design, not your own. And keeping quality up, that's the big thing, is not only do we want to do a beautiful design, but we also want to build a quality product and have happy customers after we're finished.
That's important stuff.
Goal, yeah.
And I'm sure you've had a lot of them. So Lee is Deborah's husband, who congratulations, being married 47 years. And off air, Lee said he started by working with his dad 65 years ago. And as a lot of people in this industry have learned by doing, right? And building bridges, a framing contractor. Now you're kind of the consultant or the engineer role with the company. Is that correct? So introduce yourself, Lee.
Yes, I work with the engineers. We have several that we work with, and so I communicate with them. We've got engineers that that we like to communicate with, so it's a collaboration. I tell them what I want to do, and they tell me whether I can or not. And then we bounce ideas back and forth until we come up with an idea that'll work, that's economical, that gets what we want to get done. And so that's been my role, and also working with municipalities, building departments, inspectors. Gray hairs don't hurt when you do that.
Yeah.
And I have all the licenses needed to work in different municipalities, and so that's been my role in the company for the last few years.
Fantastic. Great. And it's a family company, and you're only as good as the eyes in the field, right? And we always say the project manager is who really gets stuff done.
Great.
You know, I sit here in Studio MVWD and talk about the Mountain View family, how great they are and how great the company is. But Devin's only as good as the company and the people that are out in the field. And that's why we wanted to have you guys in here to talk through, have us all crammed into this little room where we have good audio and talk through all the different roles. So they have their daughter, Hannah. So introduce yourself and tell us what you do at DoubleTree Designs.
I've worked with my dad and my mom since I was about 14 full time. So I've been working with them for, what is that?
A lot of years.
Almost 22 years now. I'm in the field, and I basically coordinate the issues that the design requests with what we can actually accomplish.
Fantastic. So we got to meet Deborah, who's the face of the company, Lee, who handles all the municipalities, the engineering, the nuts and bolts behind the scene to make sure the project's going to work and get through all the inspections. And then Hannah, you are the one that actually implements and makes sure along the way that when you pass those inspections when you show up, right, Lee?
Correct.
So the first thing I kind of want to talk about is the whole design build concept. Because those terms can get pushed a lot of different ways, right? And we're always talking about how we can all, the bigger we get, the more focus we get. And a lot of design build firms I hear are all over the place of what their company really does. But with you guys, you have a few niches, and to kind of start off with a story, as far as Deborah came in here with a client, one of my sales reps, and is the first time I had met Deborah in the showroom. Adam Sinclair is one of my new sales reps, and you know, he's learning as he goes. So he wanted me to come into the meeting and kind of just make sure everything's taken care of, just like, you know, you're there to make sure, right, everything is taken care of. I gotta let people go and get that process going. When I met Deborah, you assume nothing, and so you start talking through all the details of the doors, and after like the third, fourth time, I would start the sentence and she would kind of finish it. It wasn't her first rodeo. Meaning she had been through it and it cut her teeth. And that's so important as a design company to understand how the building actually works. And it's as Mountain View and Indoor, it's our favorite types of customers, because we always talk about on the art of construction is to get it right on paper and the process goes so much smoother. But getting it right on paper, I want to talk through some of those things, what that means to get it right on paper. So talk through when you guys are implementing mechanical closets and those different things, and shed some light to some listeners out there when you guys are designing it, and talk through your process with that design build.
Well, basically we take what the homeowner wants, and then we start actually building it in your mind as you draw it. You actually have to be able to see, starting from the foundation all the way up, how each component works within the house. You know, if you do your foundation, then you do your main floor. You've got to be sure, and then the second floor, you have to be sure that all of those things stack. There's not a, what they call in the industry, a bust between the the floor plans. And you have to recognize all of the little intricacies of being able to coordinate, as you were talking about earlier, the mechanical parts of it, the window parts of it, the doors, so that each element of it fits into to the design where it's easy for people to build. That is a very important thing, because if you get something very hard for them to build, not only is it going to be more expensive, but it's going to be more difficult for them to build. And so we have, of course, we have Lee there to make sure that it's done correctly, and that it is all, it all goes together smoothly. And we try to make it where we don't have redos on anything.
Now, you've mentioned earlier, Deborah, that a good part of your business is your own business, where you're designing projects that you're building yourself, but you also mentioned that you do a lot of work for other architects. So describe how you work that process for other architects, that where there may be another builder involved ultimately at the end of the day, but you're doing that design work for them, and how do you integrate that to help make sure that those designs are buildable?
Well, a lot of times we work with the architect from the very beginning. He'll call us in and ask us our opinion on things. And it's really good when you're working with really young architects, because then you can give them input from the very beginning as to, will that work? And that's what they say. They say, look at this design and tell us, will this work? Sometimes we can say, yeah, or we can say, well, if we do it a certain way, and that's where Lee's experience of all these years comes in, he can look at it and say, well, if you do this, then it will work, but not exactly like you've got it drawn. So then they can go back to the drawing board and they can implement those suggestions.
I think that's huge, because when I was a builder, I remember we'd always, the first step is always the conceptual drawings and all the bubble drawings, and it's kind of like Disneyland, right? And you're kind of looking at it and you're saying, well, that looks great. Well, getting it from there to the point that you're actually going to go to construction is a huge amount of detail work that, if it's not done properly, creates a lot of extra work, money, time, and anxiety for everybody, right?
So, correct.
Yeah.
What are some consistent things you see when you an architect brings you in that you have to change in plans?
Well, we have we did a house in Lafayette for an architect that was from Minnesota. He had a very good concept and everything, but he didn't understand his engineer. We got these plans totally done, you know, so there wasn't any early input or anything like that. And he didn't understand the routing of the mechanical things. And so he had the floor down inside the foundation, lowered down inside the foundation, and just made a real nightmare getting all of the electrical, all of the HVAC, all of the in-floor radiant heat, all of that through to the other floors. There was no place to do that. And then there was also some things that were not up to code, you know, like he didn't draw the hallways to meet code, the egress for code. The windows in the house had to be changed because of egress. So, you know, just things like that.
And those things can bite you big time. Everything you just said there, if it's built and then you fail the inspection, that's a big deal.
Have to catch it before.
Yeah, or if you've installed the windows and fail, and it's, I mean, those things can just crush a project.
Yes, they can.
Yeah.
Now, Deborah, you also mentioned that you and Devin touched on it earlier. Your firm has a lot of different niche markets. You do timber, large timber homes. You do modern homes. Talk to us a little bit about the different types and how you kind of work that through your program.
Well, the timber frame homes are real. I mean, we've done everything. We have done a lot of handcrafted logs. We've done the kit logs. I've designed for log companies. I've designed for timber frame companies because that's a unique niche dealing with the big timbers. And the fact that Lee has all of the knowledge that goes along with that, that helps. And then, of course, Hannah, she actually has done the physical work on these homes. She's actually set the logs. She's actually cut the joinery and the timber frames. She's done all of that. So she knows the ins and outs of everything. So that makes us a unique company in the fact that we are experienced with every single aspect of it. We're not like a company that just goes out and buys a timber frame from a big company that cuts them on CNC machines. We actually, our sons actually did the work of handcrafting all the timber frames and cutting all the joinery, and it's all put together with mortise and tenons and pegs. So we know all of that from the structure of just the classical home building all the way through the timber frame. And then for standard classic home built stick frame homes, we've done that since the very beginning. And then we also design and do some multifamily. We're doing a project here in West Denver now that's a multifamily. And so we have that. And we do classic, we do very contemporary log, timber, whole gambit of building.
That's great. That's great, yeah. So you've cut your teeth in all the different ways, and it's fun to hear you know, the family atmosphere teaching, and that was so fun about us growing up as well. As my father, we would build every house, and you learn by doing, you know, and it's fun to hear that, you know, Hannah actually helped, you know, Pac-Man cuts and doing all the stuff on all the logs versus, I call them the briefcase builder, you know, they buy the kit and they come around and they have their paperwork and there's, you know, just that type of thing. And, you know, it's fun to work with people that have done it too, not just, you know, ordered the kit, as you say. Yeah. 'Cause that industry, the whole timber frame industry is can get very skewed because you can go online and buy a kit and plans and all this stuff, and it and you see what those look like when someone does that versus someone that, you know, crafts it together.
Yeah, I have to confess, I was a bit of a briefcase builder. I came into the marketplace after a different career, but I always made sure that I had people like yourself around me to help, because I recognized pretty quickly that if you didn't, you'd get killed, you know, because you just need that hands-on experience, because the theory and all the pretty pictures and all those kinds of things only go so far.
I think that's really important, that you have good subcontractors that you trust and rely on, and not try to know it all.
Exactly.
But recognize your limitations. You know, if you got a plumbing issue, talk to your plumber. What do they recommend? I mean, at the early planning stages, you know, what do you need here in this place? You know, get their input into the planning as well as the building of it.
Yeah, we're always talking about do a few things really well and surround yourself around really good people, and everybody's successful. And that's what on this show we're always talking about. We just had one with Boone Sante Glass, and he's, you know, kind of just getting his glass business going, and he's been in the industry his whole life. Another family guy that did tile and stone and worked the whole thing in, and now he's doing the glass thing. And his pitch right now, he talked about how I'm the guy on the site, I'm the guy with me, I'm the guy that does everything. And I said, well, make sure you create a culture and an atmosphere to where it's not just Andy Buensante, it's anybody from Buensante Glass represents, and you trust and have, like you said, subcontractors that all work together. It's like us at Mountain View Window and Door expanded our business so fast. I bought this little company that only did windows, Mountain View Window Design. And then I had all these big aspirations, and I bought the big building and the location, Grand Junction. I said, well, I better do a lot more stuff to be able to pay for all this overhead. Well, then we added all this specialty stuff and all these things, and then we realized those are just distractions to what we really kick ass at is windows, doors, and hardware. So all that distraction's working on getting away, and we are the place for windows, doors, and hardware. And if you're that person, and then you surround yourself with good people, and all they do your parts, man, the projects turn out really well. And that's our job, and that's what we always want to talk to about. What do you do best, you know? And like you guys go into a younger architect or someone like you talked about the designs, and you guys are that helping hand, you know, and working together, the project's going to be so much better off utilizing your experiences. Anything you guys want to elaborate on that?
More and more we see architects designing, and that's their strong suit, is designing concepts, ideas, putting them on paper. But more and more their drawings are designed to sell to the homeowner. That show, there's a lot of 3D, a lot of, like, Revit, some of the new programs draw 3D, which are really good to show the homeowner, the owner of the project, mm-hmm. what they're getting. But less and less plans drawn for the plans examiner at the county. Right. He has problems reading them. And the people actually executing the work in the field are having trouble because it's a beautiful picture, but what are the dimensions? You know, how do you build this? How's this supported? You know, all those questions are not covered in the plans. So more and more, if anything, architects need to be concerned about plans have a threefold purpose. They're for the homeowner to show them what they're getting. They're for the plans examiner so we can get a permit. And then for the guy actually doing the work. And so these have to cover all three aspects.
That's a very good point, because I think oftentimes that the last two layers kind of get missed. You just kind of make the assumption that you're going to get the plans approved, and ultimately you may or may not, but the time and effort that it takes to get through and all the questions and redlining and then ultimately getting it built too. What kind of confusion are you creating on site if all those answers aren't provided clearly? And it's so much better to have it all on paper. We talk about that all the time. You know, you get it done on paper, it saves everybody time, money, heartache, and you get a better overall project. So that's interesting that you're
seeing that. We find a lot of the time, I think you nailed it there, that they get it to where that 3D drawing, but yet when you look at the plan, it's missing so many details. So we, as the window supplier, sit with DoubleTree Designs. If you didn't design those plans, and we're saying, well, this isn't going to work, we need to change this, and you end up redesigning the whole project, but yet the homeowner still sees this 3D rendering model that they think they're going to get built. So then you end up doing all these mock-ups or conversations another time if it's not all parts are done right at the beginning. And that's what's so fun about working with a design build firm, that 3D little, the picture you're getting at, you're actually thinking about how it's actually going to get built in the field too, not just that picture. And I think there's a lot to be said about that, you know, and that's where we're doing a big, the School of Architecture for CU next Friday is coming through and doing a tour here. Cause we had Christine Frank on the show, and she runs the School of Architecture, called CARTA. And so it's a classical art, program at CU. And she made the comment to us, so we're doing all the students are coming, we're going to have all these different stations. So one of the stations is my logistics manager is going to show you how you flash a window. And she made the comment, I've been in the industry 15 years before I actually saw how a window is flashed. And how important that is, and it's just like, it's kind of like, so I just feel it's like our calling through the Art of Construction and our showroom and our tools. So these students are going to come in and see this stuff firsthand versus from design in a book, you know? So I think that's really important to educate our architects coming in, other than just what is a Tudor and what is a craftsman style home. And you guys have done it the other way. You've just done it several times, right? And there's what's the right way, the balancing act to bounce those balls and get it all right upstairs and implement it all, right?
You know, we did a house over in the Highlands a couple of 3 years ago, and it was a very unique looking house, and it had a very unique timber frame in it. So we had a lot of the students from CU come by.
Cool.
And they always wanted to talk, and because it was so unique, you know.
Yeah.
And they all wanted to come by and talk, and ask questions about the engineering as well as the jointery and mm-hmm. all of that kind of stuff. And there were a lot of young women that were there, which is now it's more acceptable. When I was starting out,
you were the exception, huh?
Was not very well. You know, I had to almost work strictly through Lee because it was unacceptable for a woman to be in the construction industry. You know, now it's more acceptable, and especially you know with Hannah being as knowledgeable as she is and everything. But anyway, that was what you were saying was what a lot of these young people were wanting to know. Was how would they really know about building? So my advice was, go get you a job on a construction site and be the what can I do next person.
Yep, there you go.
That way they can learn. I mean, start as a person that picks up blocks because you are able then to see what is going on the project.
Yeah.
And the architects, engineers that have actually built, that have actually done that and had jobs throughout their life doing that, they're the best. They're the very best because they know the hard work that goes into doing a project. They've actually sweat. They've actually swung a hammer. They've actually hit their thumb. All of those things that you live with in the building industry. And they understand it a whole lot better than the guys, like you said, that just go to school and read it out of a book and don't have that experience.
Yeah, and I guess that's kind of the kind of takeaway I'm coming together from this conversation is you learn by doing. But how do you, you know, if you haven't done a lot of it, you surround yourself around people that have done it to help them teach you or take your designs that could be a new, something that someone hasn't seen before and blend all that stuff together.
But you have to listen to them and you have to realize that you are inexperienced and that listening is your number one way of learning.
Well, and I think Lee talked about it before in terms of consulting with, you know, as a builder, consulting with the subcontractors that you rely on. The same thing is true for architects. They can rely on people like us, suppliers. I mean, I can't tell you how many times we see plans with windows designed that you can't even build because either the sheets of glass are just beyond the capability of any production in the United States, as an example. Little details like that, or they're building casement windows that are 10 by 5. Well, you know, that's not going to work. You know, so consulting with people that you rely on, both in terms of contractors and suppliers that know what they're doing, can help save everybody a lot of time and anxiety and end up with a better project. So.
Yeah, and everybody wins then, because if you get involved with them early and often, it's like Weiland is a perfect example of a lift slide door system that all the stuff to make this the inside and the outside seamless, there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. We're doing the show home with a countertop height application where there's been so much collaboration between Mountain Window and Doors doing the Weiland lift slide and then the cabinet manufacturer, the countertops, the wood, the flooring people, all the different stuff to have all that right on paper, but all also implementing properly and everybody collaborated and listened together and got it right on paper to where the finished product is just amazing. And that's the key, is get involved early and often and design it around what can actually be supplied and built. Because you're talking from us, you know, we live the supply side day in and day out. You guys live the both the designing and the building, and you say you got to get it right on paper we can actually build. And we say on the supply side, get us involved to say, we'll tell you what the max size is with this modern trend. Everything's all about as small as sight lines, you know, smallest frame with the most amount of glass. Well, you also got to have all the structure and all the right details to make this work properly, you know, to have all your loads on the engineering and how big we can manufacture and have it actually work. So I think that's a key part is to, when you get the, as you said earlier, the Disneyland drawings, get those to us and then we can help you drive that to reality.
It's like you were talking there about the windows. It's like when you get a set of plans and they have a 3 foot, 3 3/4 width window by 5 foot, 2 3/4 window. That doesn't do anybody any good. I mean, it's like, it is not for a design element because nobody can tell those 2 or 3 inches in the design element of it, But it is in the cost end of it.
Right.
Because as you guys would know, if we said that's the only window we're going to have in this building project, then that's going to cost us a lot more because
right.
you guys have to set up your whole structure of putting the windows together
yeah.
to fit an odd size window.
Yeah, you got to, if you can work within standard sizes, you're going to save all the way through.
And it's like you were talking about the large glass.
Right.
If you know that in advance when you're doing your first design, then you get past that. So it's like
and there's so many tools nowadays. There's so, you know, you can go to the manufacturer's websites, call us and we can drive you there or go to a meeting or just different technologies to where you're going to save so much time by just making that call or going to the website than just sitting and starting with the Disneyland and not looking at anything off the bat. You know, take that time up, a little bit of time up front. It's going to save you and everybody so much time throughout the process. Right, Hannah?
Definitely. When it comes to like these huge doors, like you were talking about, like the Weiland door, it's not an inexpensive door. And so when somebody purchases that door and they're expecting to see it when they come to their home, they expect it to be this vision that they picture. And if you're not paying attention, there's things like your floor covering. How is your floor covering going to tie into the bottom frame? Will that reveal be different than the top reveal or the side reveals? Is it going to, if it's a zero clearance, like when you look all the way through and there's nothing from inside out to the porch, do you need to actually frame a depression? And then if you add in things like hydronic heat, how are you going to do that when you pour your gypcrete? And then where does the hydronic go? And so if you don't start looking at that all the way from the very beginning at frame stage, you can just have a nightmare where you're scrambling to make it look right.
Right.
And some people may never notice, but those clients that do, and once, even if you don't notice, once you do see it, you never unsee it.
Oh, yeah.
So they never
you can't
miss.
Take that.
You can point it out if you miss
yeah.
that one and they'd see it. And once it's done, it's punt. You know, right?
And you try not to ever point it out, but you'll always see it. You'll, yeah. like, I'll sometimes just think about things that I've, like, you know, nobody sees it but me. And you're like, later on, you're like, man, that just was not what I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
It's not how it should have been.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's like the project you and Adam have been working on
right.
the Weilands as big as we can possibly make them. And talking through the homeowner, that changed his whole thought process when he came in here and saw what Weiland can do
exactly.
versus what had been designed. And if he would have maybe come in here a little bit sooner, it probably would have saved some design processes and headache for Mountain View and Doubletree. On a real-world example, you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, that was a unique situation in the fact that the architect had specified a different door mm-hmm. and a different style of door. And so we came down here to look mm-hmm. at your style of that door, specifically the accordion-style
yeah.
door.
9 out of every 10 plans I see right now, an architect, they all want the big door, and they all spec and draw the bifold accordion-style mm-hmm. door. Even in these modern-style homes, we put these big displays in, very thought through why and how we did these displays, because an accordion or a bifold, your interlock stack. So the whole thing back to what I said about on these modern designs, they want as small a frame as they can have with as much glass. Well, if that's what the architect tells you what that's what they want, but then they don't understand multi-slide, lift slide, and stacking interlocks, so then they just go throw this bifold thing in there, and then we spend all this time bidding and designing and doing everything around a bifold door that is a top hung, so you have to have a lot more engineering on a bifold door. And then they finally come into the showroom after it's basically done to pick out their bifold door, and then Mountain View window door. It's almost a daily basis right now. They come in here and then we throw the wrench into it. We show them the multi-slide and we show them the lift slide, and they say, well, that's what I really want. And then it's back to the drawing board. It's re-engineering. It's doing the threshold,
so
all those types of things.
One of the advantages Deborah has is that because she goes shopping so much with our clients, she's not just in an office. She's not just looking at it from kind of this little vacuum where you're
mm-hmm.
drawing a plan and you're trying to get it all written out. She actually goes and looks at stuff, and then we'll go back and change her drawings. So if you're going shopping with your client and you're going to different showrooms and you're looking at doors and what's out there, what's available, what's new, you're not quite so locked into, oh, I saw this one door this one time that was really super cool and it fits what I want. you can kind of have a little bit more of a spectrum of what's out there and available.
Well, it kind of gets back to what you were talking about earlier, Deborah, which is, you know, you design for what your clients are looking for, not so much you start with a concept, like in this case we're talking about the bifolding accordion style doors, and then you produce 25 sets of plans with those. You know, you're looking at what's really functioning in the marketplace where customers want more glass, and that's a different application than an accordion style door. So yeah.
It is. It definitely is. And it's that, like Hannah was saying, it's that knowing what's on the market too. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, like you were talking about in the different suppliers, if you can have these people that have the different things that go into your project, if you have people that aren't just trying to sell you a product, but they really know their product and they're willing to share that knowledge with an architect or a designer, then you've got something good there. I mean, because it's like I could call up Adam and I could say, Adam, I'm getting ready to do a project that is going to have a huge amount of glass across the front. What are the options that we can do to put that in there? Like, for instance, Denver has what they call street transparency. And even on a residential project, they make you put a specific amount of lineal feet of glass on the front of your project. And so how do we incorporate that with the product that you all have that I can use that satisfies my client? You have to go with what is required by code, what the client wants, and what you all can supply me that will look the way we want it to look. And that's great, because that makes it, makes my job a lot easier. Yeah. And I look at you and I say, hey, you are the expert. You're the expert on your product.
Right.
I can't be that expert.
It's about
that
collaboration.
I have to rely on you.
Absolutely. It's about that collaboration. Mm-hmm. And we welcome the opportunity to do that. And it ends up with a better result for everybody at the end of the day. It really
does. It does.
And have a showroom experience to where you have displays that are done, but yet also kind of corner sections, and to show how it all works, so that when you come in here, we're showing you how it's going to flash and tie into the system, but also your customer can come here and see a full display. I think is really helpful on what I call the golden triangle, is getting the design team and the architect, the builder and the homeowner, with the supplier, with all the suppliers in the middle, all working together, is key to a successful project. Because like Lee said, it's just impossible as a general contractor to know everything about everything.
Exactly.
Because you as a general contractor are bouncing all these balls, and you don't want any of them to fall. And you got to make sure you have the subs that tie in the one before and the one after, and everything is blending together, and having good suppliers and good subcontractors that are, we all have each other's back, and transferring that through the project is how they become really successful.
And it's really nice to have a showroom like you all have. Because I can, well, it's like this client that came down here with Adam. We are able to walk through and see exactly the things that he was wanting. You know, of course, he saw the one door, wanted it instead of the bifold door. But the other window.
Like when they do that.
Yeah. The window that's in the master bedroom of this house is a corner window, and he absolutely had his heart set on no post being in that corner of that window. Well, he should have that, because he has, that's one of the things in his whole house that he has wanted from the very beginning.
Yeah.
We engineered the building to accommodate that, and I have to say, you're the only ones that have been able to accommodate us with that. So it's a fantastic thing to be able to come here and him look at it and see it, and you all explain exactly how everything is, and we can see it in the flesh.
Let's peel back a few more layers on that. When you say we're the only ones that were to explain that, tell us what that means.
Well, you were able to take us as we were here. You were able to take us and show us the example of that window that you have.
A true corner meet where glass meets glass.
Correct. I could not find anyone else in town that had anything to compare with it, because they didn't have any kind of example in their showroom. And then we came back and you discussed with him the pros and cons of having the corner support. Yeah,
the glass meat versus the structural post.
Correct. And yeah. He did not want that. He wanted, I mean, that has been, that has been his focus from day one. And we do.
He's not the only one. We're doing it on a daily basis right now. It's explaining the pros and cons because there are definitely some cons of that.
Yes.
But if that design element, you really want that, we're going to supply and do the best thing we can with overlap glass and doing different things and talk to you about maybe putting some HVAC to have some air and stuff to where we don't have moisture buildup and water running
exactly.
down your wall if they want that look. There's a few things to do properly.
And that's what I was going to say is you were able to explain that to us, and as the builder element of my life, I was able to go back and tell Lee and tell Hannah what you all said and that you were able to tell us how to take care of that. But you foresaw that problem in the first place. You're the only person that foresaw that problem, period. So, you know.
And the honest answer to that is I've screwed up multiple when I first started it. And back to you learn by doing it. You know, the customer came in and said, I want it, you know, and like our Anderson E-Series, we can supply you a corner frame open with stops. And what that means is just the whole frame system, but there's no glass. So I've sold a few of those and the contractor just handled the glass. And every one of those failed. And the first three all failed. And then it's pointing the finger. It's you, the contractor, pointing back to me, and I say, I just supplied the frame. What glass? So then you're going to the glass company and pointing to the glass manufacturer. And the glass manufacturer is pointing it to the who siliconed the corner, because that's probably why it failed. And on and on and on. And life's too short to be pointing the finger. Let's talk about it up front and design a system. And that's what we want to talk about on the show, is to take these design elements that are kind of set you up for failing on a corner meet glass. But we have to say the market wants it. Well, like you said at the beginning, you do what the customer wants, and we find a way to take the strengths and weaknesses of what they want to get them the finished look and have it perform as good as we possibly can. And that's what I'm always in the trenches on the day-to-day talking to Deborah's here in Denver. To go up, we have Brett, our VP of Sales and Marketing, is at the R&D facility in Bayport, Minnesota as we speak today, testing and working on these very things. Because right now everybody wants the smallest style and rail, but yet they want the doors to be 5 foot wide and 10 foot tall with all glass. And it's like, time out here. Let's make sure that the structure, that this doesn't go all over the place and doesn't work. So he's there testing and listening to what the market wants. We don't want to put something out there that's going to fail. Like, we've been doing a lot of testing and researching on the Colby Vistalux product just came out. And if you look at the design on that fiberglass frame and sash, I almost guarantee that window is going to fail because there's not enough meat in the bones for that window to support. Anybody can throw something out there, weather shields got one out there, painted vinyl windows, all this stuff that's out there, Anderson or Mountain View I can sell that product, or Anderson could put it out there, but they're just not going to put something out there that's going to fail. So be sure, with all these new unique designs, that you're supplying something that is tried and true. And that's why we get the knock that we're sometimes coming out with products last. But yet the reason we're coming out is because we're testing and making sure it's going to fail and it's timeless.
It's kind of like, don't be the first one to buy it off the assembly line because you're going to get the broken. Wait till the next one comes out.
Yeah. The whole first generation,
yep.
Right?
No, that's awesome.
Yeah. What's the most unique project you guys have done in the past 12 months?
Gosh, that's hard to say because we've done a lot of really neat things.
I'm going to have all three of you answer. Lee, what's first project that comes to mind to tell the listeners about?
Oh, my favorite one we've done was about 6 years ago, but it was I don't know, what do you call Urban's house? It was a...
like a castle.
It was a lot of stone,
yeah.
And
yeah.
Curved towers and witch's hat roofs, and it was a big timber frame. It had huge, real simple, but huge timbers. You know, the ridge was 12 by 36, 40 feet long. We mm-hmm. had to wait probably 4 months for them to find a tree that would clear
the
ridge out of number one Doug Fir, free of heart. So they had to have a tree 40 feet long that would clear out number one grade out of the corner of the trunk, not out of the center.
Uh-huh.
But that's the only thing we would accept that would be wouldn't crack. And so it had a lot of huge timbers in it. very simple design. But it had a lot of towers and balconies and things like that. And I really liked it. It was a pretty house. It had a two-story garage, one lower level and one upper.
Nice.
Awesome. You guys have finished pictures of that one?
We do, yeah.
All right. We'll have to get some pictures because we run, you know, you have your own message board that will get created and all the pictures. And so we'll put all these pictures that of the projects you're talking about so people to see. So, Deborah, tell us about your favorite project that you've done recently.
I like the one in Fort Morgan. It's the homeowner and I had we were kindred spirits when it come to building this house because he wanted a house that looked like it was built 1900 and yet have all the modern amenities in it. And it also was a big timber frame. And I really, really enjoyed it because they built the whole house. And then they had to bring this room that was 40 by 40 with big timbers, all the big timbers. They were put together on the ground, and then they were boomed up, and they had to go in the slots, which were an eighth inch. There was an eighth inch play in all of it, and it had to come in and go down into the slots to put the roof on. And it was fantastic, beautiful, but it was so much fun to watch them do it. It was like, it's almost like a ballet because you see these guys doing all of this work and then to watch it come together so clearly and so precisely. And I think they had to take one big rubber hammer so that they didn't scar anything up, and they had to hit like two times, and it went in. It's like, oh, it was so.
Well, if you can imagine a big timber frame 40 feet square with tons of, probably weighed, I bet that thing weighed 20 tons. Because we had a 100 ton crane.
Wow.
To set it in, and they swung it in there and
And it went in.
Oh, it was all assembled.
Okay. And it went in.
Because it's all that mortise and tenon, you know, so you have to put it all together and you peg it all before you lift it. So, because you got to get all your pegs in, you do it all on the ground, and it's all held square. And so that was the scary part, putting it together, is making sure that it was actually perfectly square so that it would fit in there.
See, that's where Hannah comes in to make sure all that stuff is perfect.
Well, she was actually working the timber frame on that one, too. Awesome. She not only was the superintendent on the job, but she also was helping them with the setup of that.
I cut it and helped set up.
Exactly. Oh, nice. And so that is, you know, that's what's really neat about this job. This is one of the most fun jobs you can ever have because you go to a place where there is nothing. There's just bare ground. And you talk to the homeowner and you learn what they want. And you're like, oh, yes, let's get this exactly like they want. And then it's like you have planted a seed, and here it comes. You've seen those time-lapse pictures of the flowers, and they come all the way to blue. Yeah. And that's the way this building is. You see it, and you start with the footings, and then it comes all the way out, all the way out. And then when it's done, you're like, oh, yes, this is exactly what we want. And then what's even better is when the homeowner comes up on the job and they just are almost in tears and they say, oh yes, this is what I dreamed. Yeah. And that makes this whole thing the most fun, the most rewarding.
Awesome.
I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It is just awesome.
She remembers that day with the timber frame, but I remember standing up on the wall and there were bees everywhere. And we all got stuck.
That's part of the job. Huh?
Everybody was like grabbing this thing and the bees would land like right here in your elbow, you know?
Oh, nice.
And then you would bend your elbow and then you'd get stung. So that's what I remember. Everyone was stung like two or three times. And so she's like, my favorite. And I'm like, ah. Oh. There's bees. Too many bees.
God, the bees. Test on that house was they bought a big ranch at Red Brush. And there was an old farmhouse. And so, long about the finish of the project, we were getting deliveries. And people would drive in and they'd say, well, where's the new house? Because the new house we had just built 3 months before looked old enough that people couldn't tell it was a new house.
That's cool. That's really cool.
That was really neat. And it's a beautiful, it's an absolutely beautiful home. We were back up there not very long ago, and it's like...
Get them some pictures of that.
That one was fun, because I got to do a lot of weird things on that one.
A lot of the interior. Yeah. She did all the interior trim. Yes. She created some beautiful light fixtures. She took a big timber and cut a ox yoke out of it and aged it. And then we hung lanterns from the hang over the bar.
And in the train car, aisle. Which was kind of fun.
Yeah.
He had this train car just sitting in the field. I have no idea how it got there. But we went out and cut huge chunks out of it and built a wine room door out of it and several mirror frames.
An old boxcar that had a lot of wrought iron hardware and stuff on it. Had a wrought iron ladder, you know, to climb it. We made towel bars out of that.
Oh, that's great.
Used all the hardware off of this old boxcar.
My favorite type of building, and my father-in-law bought an old little, it's right on the corner outside of Westcliff. It's all these big farm ranches around there, and it's 8 acres he has, and now I'm buying that from him, and what I'm doing right now is converting the original dairy barn into what I call Turkey Toast Saloon. So that's what we down there. So it was shot. Nothing had been done. The only thing I ever lived in there was cows, so you can imagine how it was built, right? So now I'm converting it into my daughter, who's 10 months old, into Eva's bunkhouse and Turkey Toast Saloon. So I'm putting a big bar in there, and then there's a bunch of bunk beds for the kids. So it's kind of that dual-purpose hangout spot. But what I did is I took all the original ceiling, and it was just cinder blocks, the sheet metal, the roof that had a really cool patina, but it was just totally shot. So I'm breaking that and making that the siding, and then lean to off the back. And then the farmer next door has this, if you're down in Westcliff, his name's Dave Rice. He has his own little lumber mill, and so they lease all the land for their cows up in the National Forest land, and he has access to all the trees. So he's got all the trees out in there. So he mills all the lumber, and on the show house I talked about, we did the whole house and all these timber frames that he cuts them to size. And I think it's a really cool story, and all in Colorado, from the trees to milling it, and you know, like we took some big 28-inch slabs and made the countertops and the same kind of stuff that you guys are doing down there, and just repurposing really cool old funky stuff, you know. And my father-in-law says best, make it drip with cool old antiques, you know. Yep. It's the funky old buildings.
It makes it so uniquely yours too.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great.
All right, Hannah, what's your favorite project?
Oh, I love and hate them all.
Because you get to deal with all the problems day to day, right?
Yeah. So I don't know. No idea, to be honest.
So tell us a story about one of them, like these great stories your parents just told us.
Stories on demand. Trying to think of a good
What story. Project are you working on now?
I'm working on one in Denver. On Shoshone, and then we're working on one in Perry.
What's something cool about one of those?
God, Shoshone? I don't know if I want to go there. I don't know if I'm supposed to. We had a shoring. Shoring failure on Shoshone. And so what it was is a really, really deep basement. You're like 18 feet on the backside to the top of footer. And then the house behind it had probably, I want to say, about 2.5 feet more rise in elevation to their property line. So we were having a really hard time getting our shoring done by any engineer. We finally got the shoring done, put it in all the way it was supposed to be done, had it inspected by the engineer, had the county inspect it, started our foundation. Foundation was in. We're one day. It was a Friday night. Stopped there like 5 o'clock to see the guys, 4:30, something like that. They were leaving. They said they were calling for inspection on Monday. About 30 minutes later, somebody called me and told me that the shoring failed, and it just caved in the whole basement with all that steel in it. Because it was such a big basement with heavy steel in it, and there was like the corners was double 3-inch separation. It hit the outside and just tore this all in. And it was 3 piers failed and just destroyed the whole thing. So getting that fixed was really horrible, but also very fulfilling to get it done and see it actually get back up and get poured and buried. It was a nightmare at the same time because you're dealing with the county, and then when you get a failure like that, everybody comes and they're like, well, you all did. I'm like, I didn't engineer that. Like I didn't do this. I did it like I was supposed to. But everybody's instantly like, well, you're an idiot. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with that. So you have to deal with the county and all of those people. And that was kind of rough, but it's also kind of rewarding now that we're actually up into framing and you can see how it all works and getting it all fixed. I guess those kinds of weird challenges when everything's screwed up.
Well, even with the best plans, like we talked about, things don't always work. And a lot of times you have to re-engineer and reconfigure on the spot. You have to kind of look through it all.
What contributed to this was the neighbors, all of their water from the building and everything
was seeping.
dumping. They had four big, huge downspouts that dumped right out onto our property. Plus, we had all of that rain, and then we had that heavy, heavy snow in May, and it was like tons
of water.
The problem's
going to rear its head. You'd rather have it do it there than down the road.
But she was able to take care of it.
I've never had anything like that. I remember calling my dad. And I was like, so what do you do? I've never had this happen. He's like, I've never had this happen either. I was like, okay, all right.
We're on the same page now, yeah.
All right, we'll figure it out.
My dad always said what separates the men from the boys is what you do about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody makes mistakes and things happen. It's how you deal with them, you know.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, I always say it's not a matter of if, it's when problems happen. It's how you take care of them is how you get the next job and build that credibility, you know.
And we have to say, too, that the engineer was quite good. He stepped right forward and said, oh, I'm sorry, this was my fault, because he hadn't engineered it quite heavy enough, you know. He ran the calculations, but he just didn't do it.
I think it's just
quite
so
heavy.
So busy. Everybody's been so busy right now. It's so hard to get subs. When you do get subs and they're not busy, you're a little bit worried why. And so I think that was kind of a contributor.
And that's the key, the ebbs and flows of this industry is to, you know, when it's lean and mean, still finding a way to keep those good people working for you. When it goes up, you remember when, you know.
And that's really worked for us, because most of the guys that we work with, we have worked with for 25 years.
Yeah.
And so during the lean times, we try to keep them busy thinking about what we can do to help them. And then we're always on their list when things get busy like now. We don't have to wait 6 months. You know, they'll work us in a week, you know.
And it's heartfelt, the collaboration of, you know, you taking it to Marion Inn, to going into it, to now the next generation taking over with, you know, and learning. It's really cool to see and talk about the, you know, the family collaboration is really neat.
And it's really nice, too, because like Lee was saying, a lot of these subcontractors that we work with, they are family people, too. And so their children have gone to work with them, and they are taking over their businesses. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing is they all know and respect Hannah. They recognize that she has the knowledge of someone two or three times her age and the experience. And so it is a continuing, as you said, it's a continuing thing, because their children and Hannah go ahead and work together. It's amazing at all of the
quite a few of our subcontractors we're working with the second generation.
That's great. And they keep the same work ethic, as well as the ethic of quality control that their parents had. And that's what we really, really bear down on, is the quality.
For sure.
Yeah,
we always want to leave some takeaways for people listening. So we got through one engineering foundation issue that from water and not engineering properly was kind of the main.
I think people underestimate how much, because we do live in such a dry area, that when you do have to start dealing with water, how much it can really affect your build. Whether it's your basement flooding or your slab holding a lot of moisture so that it wicks into things that you stack down there. It's just, you don't typically have to deal with it so much. So when you get these little areas and pockets where you have a lot of groundwater, I think a lot of times that can throw people for a bit of a loop.
Yeah. So what's a learning lesson you could give the listeners, Deborah, or a project, your most challenging project in the past 12 months?
Oh, most challenging.
You can't use clients.
No names.
No names. We will not do names. Oh, the most challenging. There's not any.
They all have their challenges.
They have their challenges, but we really have had so much prior experience that when you see something coming, usually you see it before it gets to be a challenge. You know, that's the big thing. Not letting things get to the point where you feel like they're a challenge. You know, try to nip that in the bud prior to anything happening. And so, like Hannah was saying, with this foundation collapse, that was something we couldn't even see coming. And so that has been a challenge in the fact that we had to deal with some inspectors that did not appreciate working with a woman or working with women. And most of the Denver building department inspectors are very good, very nice gentlemen. They know their business. They are extremely helpful. But we got one on that project that was not. And that was the challenge. That was the challenge of dealing with someone. I have dealt with them in the past, but it's been a long, long time since I dealt with someone that was extremely prejudiced against a woman being in the building industry.
That's too bad.
And anyway, we worked through it, and we're up and going. And
Lee, to bring this full circle, what did you do as kind of the consultant or kind of the engineer guy? What was the fix or kind of to finish the story from the project manager to the designer to the head cheese?
Involved in a project like this, of course, there's several engineers. There's the Soles engineer, who we had on site all the time advising us on what to do. The structural engineer, which designed the foundation, all that, and the engineer that designed the shoring. So we had three engineers here that worked together well. There was no problem that way. But getting all those guys to communicate, getting the engineer that did the shoring to come up with a fix that would support this, well, we could get a foundation in. And then dealing with the engineer, the structural engineer, because of the revisions to the foundation, tore all that out and get that back going. And the Soles engineer, because backfill was a huge consideration now. The ground was so wet and the shoring was, nobody had much faith in.
Right, right.
And coordinating all that. And, of course, Hannah worked that in the field and we worked that together. But that was my input to that whole thing was
getting everybody on the same
all done and inspected and back on a level playing field, because we had issues with the neighbor's lot. Because part of their lot, they had shoring, it was a new house, so they had shoring to protect their house, so there was shoring back to back at the property line. So they weren't really threatened, but their yard caved off. So we had to deal with that, the security fence.
Plus their house was built on piers. So even if they hadn't had shoring, their house was built on piers. They had a secondary, completely separate engineer come out and look at their whole structure, and they're like, you're completely
But we still had quite a bit of issues to deal with. Mainly yard issues, sidewalk caved in, things like that. So that was quite a deal. It was actually probably 5 months that it took us to get this all back to where we started.
That's a long time, yeah.
Well, actually, we had the fix in within a week. We had we're in a unique position in that if we have a problem, we have enough people within our family that we can say, yahoo, we're having an issue here. Who can come and help us?
Right.
And so we were able to get our son Gideon to come, and he worked through the weekend, brought his crew in and worked through the weekend and got all of the steel dropped. They welded everything. They got it in. They got it in the hole and everything. So within a week, it was totally safe. And actually, it was less than a week, wasn't it?
3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
As soon as the engineer came up with an idea of how to fix it, we got a bunch of steel framework braces between the two. We actually had to pour the foundation around that steel and then cut it out and repair the holes after it.
Interesting.
So it was quite a project to get this thing done. But it was nice because Gideon could bring his welder, and he's proficient at that, put it all together, weld it, boom it in place, and get it all braced off so that we could clean out. Couldn't even clean out the wreck until we
they got that done. Yeah.
Had it safe and secure.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. It's great to hear the Lamberts, the team Lambert, you know, everybody working together. It's really powerful to hear all the stuff you guys coming together. So in closing, with all your experience, you know, what's something you can leave behind with a contractor and architect listening to this for wanting to grow their business? All three are just kind of something that you could, what's one piece of advice that you, if you were starting over today, that you would recommend that you'd love somebody to tell you?
Well, you know, we've talked a lot about the young architects getting started, but I don't think that's really fair. I have seen sometimes the older guys are more narrow-minded than the new ones. And being narrow-minded is just as bad as being ignorant. You know, so we all never outgrow the need to learn, to pay attention to our helpers and our people that we're working with, and work together, communicate. You know, early on and say, hey guys, this isn't going to work. It doesn't have to be adversarial. There's no reason for that. It can be everybody just working together to get the project done.
Yeah, and that's what I would say. Listen. Listen to everyone on your project. And if you build a project and you don't learn several things from the project, if even if they're just small things, if you don't, then you're past your prime. Really. You really are. You have to stay where you learn something all the time. I don't care what it is, whether it's drawing the design. Oh, that's a neat way to accomplish that. Or you learn it from the plumber. Ah, that's a good thing to do. I'll do that. Even from the homeowner. I mean, it's like a homeowner will say, well, you know, I would like to have, maybe when the guests come up, the lights automatically come on at the front door. You know, well, that's a neat little thing. Several years ago, a homeowner said that. Said, I would like to have a motion sensor so that when my guests come up on the porch, the light comes on automatically, and I can override it on the inside. Hey, great. But that was a neat little thing to learn on that job. Yeah. And that's probably been 15 years ago, and so we've done it a lot. You know, offer those things to your clients.
Love it. Hannah?
I would say probably the thing that helped me the most is one time my dad told me, you don't have to know all the answers. More than likely, your subs, as long as they're good subs, do know. And so if you ask them, they'll typically give you 4 or 5 solutions to a problem or an issue, but they don't want to be responsible to pick. So all you have to do is learn who's a good sub and then listen to them and then choose from what they give you.
Damn.
So you don't have to know everything. You just have to know enough to trust your subs to make the decision.
That's awesome. Well, I couldn't thank you guys enough for taking the time and coming in here and telling us your story. And it's been fun getting to know you, and can't wait to get this show out there and have listeners give you good feedback and ask more questions and listen, right?
Right.
All right. Thanks.
Well, Devin, I don't know where to start. Boy, that was a lot of great information from the two different generations and quite a bit of experience with some real experience where the rubber meets the road with some real life examples of things that they've put to work that have been real productive.
And it's been so fun, the passion of the people that come into Studio MVWD, because it just, I sat back and just smiled listening to Deborah talk. She's definitely in the right role.
Absolutely.
And with having the support of both sides, I mean, the love and the camaraderie, talk about collaboration with the Lampert family.
Oh, absolutely. Not only within the family, which, you know, family dynamics can be challenging sometimes, but they make it work. And then also with their family of subcontractors, talking about the importance of getting their advice, consulting with them, working with them, and treating them good so they treat you and your customers in return. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's we probably waited a little too long to have an ideal customer like that into Studio MVWD, because that's what this is specifically designed for, is the customer that just walked in here.
That's
if you talk to me, is the construction American dream. A family that worked their tails off and design and build, and their projects are spectacular, and there's so much marketing gold. I'm going to listen to this one 2-3 times over and over again, because Deborah kept saying, listen, you know, and I sat back and listened to her. And you can leapfrog your business by listening to what they're saying. And that's what this is all about, you know. It's like I was saying, Devin, as a small business owner, how can I make my business that much better and stronger faster?
No, absolutely.
And that's what we've done by turning this microphone on. And I hope that's what all our listeners are getting. So I hope we get a lot of feedback, and I can't wait to see the pictures of the projects that they were talking about.
Well, and I was amazed by Lee's, not just his knowledge, but his kind of grasp of all the important things. I mean, here's a gentleman that's had 65 plus years of construction experience and understands that you never know everything. yourself. You know, you've got to rely on other people around you, and you always have to learn, and you always have to remember that you're constantly learning and needing to find out those new things that are going on out there that you need to be on top of. So
yeah, it's cool to see, you know, she was blazing trails when she started.
Oh, yeah.
Deborah, as a female in the building industry, and to now see her daughter Hannah, who's, man, is she strong and knowing what she's talking about.
Well, I'd feel for that inspector that doesn't treat them very well. That's the, you know, I was kind of, you know what I mean,
because I wouldn't want to get sideways with them.
They're sweet,
but they are on
They know their stuff, and it's just amazing to me, though. That also keeps your eyes open to the fact that we haven't completely crossed the bridge. I mean, we made some strides in that arena, but boy, it's amazing to hear that that's still going on out there. But they work through it. Like she said, that's the key. They work through it. They figure out a way to get to the finish line. So,
and I love their learning lessons, and we got to do more of that and continue to have people like that in here. And hopefully everybody gets a lot out of this. Again, thanks a bunch to DoubleTree Designs. You know, they're new customers of ours, and it's been so fun to get to know them. And we continue to develop more friendships in this industry, and that's what's so fun about this.
No, absolutely.
So thanks for another great show. Keep the reviews and the positive outreach coming to grow the Art of Construction, you know, one episode at a time, to keep making this industry that we all love and have so much fun. You know, passion that she saw, I definitely shared. You know, it was very heartfelt and a lot of fun today. And hopefully we can continue to do that with have more smiles with people listening to the show.
And we'll see you next time.
You have been listening to The Art of Construction. To listen to more, please go to www.mtnview.us and click on the podcast tab. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, and thanks for listening.